Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Audible brings your wildest adventures to life, delivering heart-pounding thrills at the touch of a button. Take Richard Osman's The Thursday Murder Club, where four retirees turned amateur sleuths solve crimes in the most unexpected ways, brilliantly performed by Leslie Manville. Ready to unleash your adventurous side? From pulse-racing suspense to epic quests, from supernatural chills to far-off romances, every story comes alive through world-class narration. Explore exclusive Audible originals, chart-topping new releases, and unforgettable bestsellers that transport you from the very first word. Because the next great adventure is just a listen away. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUK. That's audible.com/WonderyUK.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap. So then this lady, Petra, who's like the head of Grenada Tourism, comes out and she's like, welcome to Grenada. But they didn't like her, which was sad. So she's just like, welcome to Grenada.
Like, she's speaking through like a margarita glass. She's like, welcome to Grenada. Sorry, it's low budge. Low budge, guys.
She's like, sorry, I'm I can't project any further. I'm preserving my voice. Do we have any turmeric, ginger turmeric tea here for the tourism board president? No.
Right. So one van is Portia, Britt, Shamia, and Kelly, and they're having fun and taking a shot and giggling. And Kelly's like, oh, Phaedra, I love it. Somebody's fun size here. I love it. This is going to be the best girls trip ever. Reset, renew, re-sparkle. And then we go to the other van, and it's Drew, Angela, Cynthia, and Phaedra, and no one's speaking. And Angela's just looking out the window stiffly like, $2.7 million in debt.
She's like, maybe I should just stay here and just forget about my debt. Cynthia Bailey, who is now seemingly on every single Bravo show, she's everywhere because she was on Love Hotel later in the evening. She also, I saw pictures of her at WeHo Pride yesterday because Meredith Marks did a DJ set over the weekend at WeHo Pride.
Love it. I should have gone. I was at Pride, but God, it's so hot outside. And honestly, the floats didn't make very much effort this year. It was just mostly people from banks walking in straight lines. And I was like, where's the creativity, gay people? Okay, we've taken it too easy at this point. The gay pride parade, like the people themselves were floats. Like everybody would dress so crazy and get so creative. And yesterday it was just like a lot of bad t-shirts marching. I was like, what is this, a food court? Like, what are people even doing here? But I ended up stopping we walked all the way from Michael's house, but then we ended up stopping at Barney's Beanery and ended up just staying there the whole day, which is probably the least gay thing that we could have done. Mm. So I didn't even make it down to see like Paris Hilton and Meredith Marks.
And Lizzo.
I regret it now.
Yeah. Well, don't regret it, because I'm sure Meredith Marks will have more DJ gigs coming up, because she's going to be playing Coachella soon. Just give her a bathtub and put it on the steam engine and she and her toddler can rip it up. Yeah, but I just love
that. I saw clips of her and I really like that Meredith Marks is not pretending to be a real DJ. She's not like going moving levels up and down and like, you know, wiggy-wigging or whatever. She's just like, she's got her arm in the air and she's just like, yeah. It's music playing right now. That's what I mean. Hey, listen, I learned how to rhyme bath with bath.
I'm really sad I was not there for it. I was still, I landed last night at 6, so I missed Pride. To be fair, I didn't realize that Pride was yesterday until I saw all the pictures, and I was like, oh, well, yeah, David.
I didn't either. It was bad publicity for Pride this year. I didn't know.
But you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I feel like Bravo is home to so many gay icons, like so many of the Real Housewives. But I feel like in WeHo, they really only care about Drag Race, which is great. Drag Race is wonderful. But like there's more in the reality TV world of like there's more to like reality gay reality TV icons than Drag Race. So the fact that someone said, you know what, let's have Meredith Marks do a DJ set at Pride. Whoever did that was like so fucking brilliant. Like that is just the smartest thing you could ever do. First of all, I love that Bravo was being represented at Pride, but also like who had that out of the box idea of like, let's get Meredith Marks and let's have her DJ a set between like she's Lizzo all over and Paris Hilton.
She's like, she's great. Doing it all over now. Yeah. So you go girl. You go girl.
Yeah. You go girl. So back to these ladies. So they show up.
Phaedra asked them who's beefing, basically.
Yeah.
Phaedra's like, so who's beefing? Where's the beef? Just tell me what's going on. And so Drew's like, well, and they're like, well, Drew, Angela says, Drew has beef with everybody. And Drew's like, well, I mean, I wouldn't say everybody. I mean, I'm really getting along very well with Ginger and Turmeric. Those are good.
Phaedra's like, I don't know a lot about Drew. She's a child actress or some kind of actress. She's been in a lot of black movies. That's all I really know. All I know is she was not on The Traitors and did not light up all of pop culture for one fabulous winter in 2024, but that's fine.
I don't think she's done any Doritos commercials.
I know.
She goes, what was she on, Soul Train? Well, Phaedra just comes back swinging at everything.
Well, she doesn't have a lot of time. I mean, I feel like there's only going to be like 3 episodes left. I was actually surprised that they brought her back as a full-on housewife with a tagline and everything. I thought she was just going to be a friend of for the final few episodes.
No, I think they're treading water a little bit. I think the season started out so well, and now it's getting like, it's like lowest ratings ever, lowest ratings ever the next week, lowest ratings ever. So I think they're just like, help, whatever we can do.
Well, because I always say this. My theory is always that if they ever have to like lose someone mid-season, or they lose someone right at the top of the season, it messes up everything. Like the chemistry, because they plan a whole. I believe that they carefully plan and calibrate a season around who they have, and they figure out what the beats are that they want and like how they want to sort of like engineer everything to go. I mean, they don't ever know completely how it's going to go, but I think that that's what they do. And then whenever they have to like, they lose a piece, they have to scramble, it always comes off as kind of uneven. And I feel like what we saw was I still really like the season, but like the first part of the season before Kenya left was really, really, really strong. And now since she's left, to me, it's still been entertaining and fun, but it has definitely not been as tight as it was at the top.
Well, they're still fighting over Portia and Drew. It's still the same thing going on. Yeah, they definitely needed a kick in the pants. So, reset, renew, rebirth, ladies. So, Grenada, chapter 1, reset. And they go to where they're staying, and there's like people performing outside. And
stilts.
On stilts. And
a lot of body oil and glitter. So, it was a whole big thing. It was fun, it's exciting. And they're all enjoying all these men, you know, dancing around, et cetera. And then now they like go into the house, And they're going to be playing a game before they move into their rooms, of course, because Real Housewives.
Yeah. So it's who's going to share rooms together? Dun, dun, dun. So I want you guys to be sharing rooms with people you normally wouldn't share rooms with. So we're going to play a game.
Yeah. So then we see that like Kelly and Shamia, they're going to be rooming together, and we see their villas at Villa, and it's really nice. And I got messed up in the order here. First they sit down and they find out who they're rooming with, and then they're going to be taking shots, and the shots have numbers under them, and the numbers are going to correspond to the rooms that they're going to stay in.
Yeah. So Brittany is going to stay with Phaedra Parks. She's saying, I'm so excited. I'm going to stay with Miss Phaedra Parks. Oh, just you wait. Because I have a feeling Phaedra's going to rip a new one on this check. And she's like, oh, I love a stranger. And Britt Eady, she looks like a party.
And Shamia is like, Angela, who do you think you're rooming with? And Angela's like, Portia. And that's exactly right. They're going to room together. And Angela says, I have no problem sharing a room with Portia because Charles is home, safe at home. So why not? Let's have a ball.
And Drew and Cynthia are going to stay together. And who else? Shamia gets her own room, I guess.
No, Shamia and whoever. Who's the other host of the party?
Kelly.
Kelly? They're together because they're the hosts.
So Cynthia and Drew arm wrestle to see who's going to get the better bedroom in their suite. And one has two beds that are small and one has a king-size bed. So Drew wins the arm wrestle, but then she decides to give it to Cynthia to be nice.
Yeah, but
and also because that's the only person that likes her. So try and keep that going.
Exactly. This goes on for a long time. It's a long time. She's in the rooms. Like it's shockingly long. So then they've got 30 minutes to get changed. And they're going to go out to dinner, etc. So that's the plan. And then they're talking to like the chef and everything about like the chicken and pepper sauce and all this stuff. And Kelly is saying how Portia is looking for a man. So I guess she's
The flirt with the chef scene. And then Shamia and Kelly are talking about Portia. And Shamia's like, I mean, I just don't understand Portia. I mean, I just don't understand Drew's thing, you know? I mean, she comes out here, she tags me on Instagram saying, be careful of people that create imaginary beef. Like, I just don't get it. Why would she add me? I'm so confused. I mean, do you want me to be mad? Do you want me to be happy? Like, are we friends? Are we not? Do you not remember going on the radio last week and excoriating her? Like, what the hell? Like that Shamia is always so innocent. She's like, I just don't. What?
Why would she do that? And Shamia's like, yeah, I mean, Drew Nokia, that's her name, Drew Nokia. And Kelly's like, well, maybe you guys can talk about it, though. She's like, what? She's like, what are we fitting to talk about? She's like, you know, just kind of like release it out into Grenada.
We'll do it at the same time we drop, you know, Cracker Jacks at the poor people on the freeway. So then Drew and Cynthia are talking about how hard it is to be divorced. And first they talk about who's a Taurus. Drew's a Taurus. And she's like, you know what? Tauruses are very, very loyal. And Cynthia's like, oh, yes. Well, my friend Amsterdam is a Taurus. So Drew keeps trying to talk about how hard it is to be with Ralph, and Cynthia keeps trying to turn it into, I'm dating a hot young man, and I understand the pain you're going through, which has everything to do with me dating a hot man. I'm not really sure how it's correlating, but it's really funny that Cynthia's just trying to get it in there.
I was waiting for Drew to admit that when every time she mentioned the word Taurus, she was actually referring to her real car that she drives when she's not filming the show. I'm a Taurus. I'm a total Taurus.
And she's like, yeah, well, they are loyal because Amsterdam's loyal. And Drew's like, I'm very passionate. We're very passionate people. And she goes, oh, so passionate. He's so affectionate. He loves holding my hands. And so Cynthia's like, I'm ready to introduce my young hot man to the world.
Yeah, she says, I'm not keeping Amsterdam's identity secret. I'm just not sharing. I'm like, yes, because I can sense that all of America is dying to find out who Cynthia's latest disaster of a love interest is going to be.
Yeah. And I love it. She's like, I'm not announcing it. You're on television and you said his name 15 times in 5 minutes.
And you're like, I'm not keeping his identity a secret, but yet his face is totally blurred out.
Yeah.
She's like, he's very tall, has long dreads, great kisser, wonderful lover. He has his own coffee brand and a few bars called Bar One and Bar One. It's actually Peter. It's Peter.
It's Peter.
Peter in a dreads hat.
It's Peter in dreads.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on the best idea yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments.
Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime, and then it got acquired by Starbucks.
Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover.
On the best idea yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral.
These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus.
And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention span.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
So now Drew's like, oh gosh. And then, you know, now Portia and Shamia went to film with Ralph. And that's just tit for tat. Like, was it to be spiteful? What was it spiteful? There's no reason for you to film together. She's like, well, and Portia likes a lick back.
She likes a lick back. So Drew's like, I mean, our conversation, I mean, it only lasted 15 minutes. And I'm just lucky it was that short because they didn't have any ginger turmeric tea. I would have lost my voice for the next 3 weeks had it gone any longer than that.
Yeah. So, you know, now everyone's getting ready for nighttime. Shamia FaceTimes Gerald and she still doesn't have her luggage. And he's like, you do have your Bible, right? Please say you have your Bible.
She's like, thankfully, I decided to bring my Weber grill as carry-on so I can still cook under some underpasses.
I brought my Bible flat top so I can actually read and plug it in and cook a burger on it. So we're going to be fine.
Then Britt is like,
oh my God, there's a guy, there's a naked man across the way.
They're very excited because there's a man standing in a window across the way, fully naked. So they're all like rushing out to the balcony to see if they can see him. And I feel like they didn't, I feel like they just quite, they missed him, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, they missed him.
That's exciting for them. And now they all gather for, together. And they're, of course, they're complimenting each other. Everyone's clothing, etc. And Kelly's using tongs to grab glasses from the top shelf, which is very novel. Although I feel like dangerous. I feel like it's really just one slip away from a glass disaster on the countertop.
Yeah, metal on glass. Scary. That was scary.
Yeah. That was a little scary. Yeah.
So then Phaedra's like, oh, well, let me know when I can come fuck with a body. Why did she say that? I forget why she said it, but they start talking about her funeral business.
Yeah. And then Cynthia's nipple pops out, and then they're like, oh. And Cynthia's like, my nipple is no stranger to Phaedra. And then they show a flashback to 2017 where she flashes Phaedra. It's basically like they're clearly stretching the content to get to the end of the episode. You know, they're like, okay, we're just going to try to fill out our episode order right now. We're just throwing in flashbacks and moments that no one remembered or cared about. We're going to throw in some funny graphics.
You know what's really going to get this audience on fire? Talking about embalming dead people. Let's do it. So Phaedra's like, yeah, you know, that guy taught me how to embalm. And Shamia's like, I want to know how to do that. You know, I want to see how they do that. Can I come with you? And she goes, it's a lot of blood and brains.
And then we have a flashback to 2012 when she was doing, I can't believe it's actually already been 13 years since Phaedra went into the funeral business. It feels like it was yesterday that this storyline happened. But hey, you know what? They're still going for it. I mean, I thought it was like a one season fake storyline, but they,
I think
she's still,
I think it's actively impressive that Phaedra's kept this business for all these years. And it's the weirdest one we've ever had on any of these shows, and that it's still going. And I like in her first season, she's like, well, people don't like that I have a funeral business, but you've always got customers. And you do. People just keep on dying.
So Kelly asks if the bodies move, and Phaedra goes, well, when anybody dies, they're going to have a last breath and a last poop. And Shamia's like, has there ever been a hard dick? And they're like, So meanwhile, the other car, they're all talking about this in the car, and then in the other car, it's like Portia yawning, and they're bored.
They hate each other. That car is making no effort. So then we go back to more funeral talk. And they're like, please tell me that you've seen a dead person with a boner. Please. It's like, no, not. I haven't seen a boner on anybody dead.
So they arrive at the table. Angela announces that this is her 8-year wedding anniversary with Charles, but she's here instead. And I'm sure Charles literally does not even care. He's still cooking up like 30,000 corns on the cob. He's like, well, it's my wedding anniversary, so I decided to make more corn than usual. And they start to order and everything. And Portia's saying, wow, she's on a trip with a crew of divorcees and she's celebrating her wedding anniversary? Nah, girl, this ain't it. So,
And they're like, well, what about the dingling guy across the way? And Phaedra's like, well, I wanted to see his dingling, but I didn't see it. And Portia's like, well, maybe he's a masseuse, and that's why he's naked. The fuck kind of masseuse do you have?
What? Wait, why did that happen? Why would that? I mean, if you see a naked person, I wouldn't automatically assume that they're a masseuse. Also, masseuse is for a woman. So then Kelly's like, well, I wonder if he has happy endings. And then they start talking about never having happy endings, which made me immediately think about Vicky on Real Housewives of Orange County talking about how if you like move your toe into your kneecap, it's a signal to masseurs that they're supposed to give the lady a happy ending. Oh, at least it is in Vicky's world. I don't know if that's actually a confirmed signal, but it's what Vicky does.
I just can't imagine the poor person that has to give Vicky a happy ending. That is fucking terrifying. Do you remember when she was selling her clothes on Poshmark and people were posting the reviews on Reddit and people would be like, this showed up wrinkled and smelled like BO. Like, Vicky wouldn't even wash her clothes. She would just wear them once, throw them into a box and ship them out on the Posh. Like, no, I'm not happy ending that person.
Ship it out on the Posh. Yeah. So then they're joking about like Kelly getting happy endings and everything. And Phaedra's like, I don't know where Kelly's getting these massages, but it sounds like it might be on a dark alley downtown. On a back street with a little man with shades on. I was like, wow, you're really getting specific about this.
I know. Who likes Wordle? And the occasional bugle. The chip, not the horn.
But the chip too, and the horn. Eats bugles to bugles and gives massages.
Listens to AM radio, but isn't political.
Watched the first 3 seasons of Homeland, but then gave up. Couldn't deal with the theme music anymore.
Smells like lavender, but only uses truck stop soap.
Loves 1,000 grand bars. He's the one.
1,000 grand bars. Okay, so now they do a cheers and everything, and so Kelly tries to start some shit. She's like, I'm so happy to hear that Drew's willing to put things aside with Shamia, so maybe we should do that. And so Kelly's like, whatever the situation is, I think you're both bigger and better than that. And I'm wearing a fishnet see-through dress with nipple covers. Because it's my peace outfit. This is my peace yeah. outfit.
So Drew's like, sorry, I'm preserving my voice for some singing gig I'm going to have at some point in my life. Okay. Honestly, yeah. Like, if you do have an issue with me, I would like to clear the air. So Shamia says, well, I did attempt to clear the air at Brit's event, and you stood 10 toes down and called me a lapdog. Then you posted that we had this imaginary beef, and if you call me a lapdog, girl, we have a beef. It is a real beef. So Drew's like, well, do you remember that you took back information that was incorrect, and that is why I called you a lapdog? Shamia goes, well, a lapdog wouldn't have invited you to my session, would she have?
Oh, Lord. So, A, you have been a lapdog sometimes. I'm sorry, but the internet agrees, okay? The jury's in. Okay. And second, Drew, you did say exactly what she told Portia that you said. You said it. And they even show a clip of her being like, well, whatever, you know, this, all of these songs that we're recording could pay for PJ's college one day. And then that's what she repeated. So you did say it. So stop saying she's taking information that's incorrect. So this fight needs to end. Right. This fight's too boring. Right.
So Shamia's like, look, What y'all say behind each other's back, you're damn right. I'm going to run it back because I don't like fake friendships, okay? I'm not a lapdog. I only run information back to my friend because she tells me I have to, okay? And look, I'm not messing with you, okay? But then I'm going to go talk about it on social media. Okay, run and tell me that, okay? Because I'm right here. I'm right here. So
and
now
Drew's like, okay, well, a hit dog and holler. And she's like, and now you're calling me a dog. Now you're calling me a dog. Hit dog gonna holler is a saying, and how come you didn't get mad about the dog portion of it just a minute ago? It was just lap dog. It didn't really change that much.
Because the lap dog was not being abused.
The lap dog was better than the hit dog, I guess.
The lap dog got hit. So she's like, oh, okay. Well, you're gonna call me a dog. She can kiss my ass. And she was like, the energy is so turned up. And Phaedra goes, well, you didn't really mean to call her a dog. So then Drew goes, well, she was at the table barking. I'm like, okay, so you actually okay, are well, calling
now
her
you
dog
did
now.
Yeah, now you did.
now you went from metaphor to insult.
You had us on your side when you kept it metaphorical, okay? So Portia's like, yeah, well, Shamia can be crazy. And then we flash back to the country club where Shamia was literally barking at Drew.
So Shamia goes, yes, I did bark, but can you be honest about stuff? Because it's called accountability. It's like, yes, I may bark, but you can't be accountable, which is kind of a funny sentence. And Kelly's like, Drew, you can't say anything when that bitch bites. Now you you can't say nothing when that bitch bites. Now you bitch. You now bitch. Am I saying this correctly? So Drew goes, I was simply saying that the music is a blessing because this is a way that he feels he can help take care of his daughter. And the more you make me defend this point is the fewer notes I'll be able to hit because I have not been able to spot a single ginger turmeric tea on this island.
Yeah. And so Portia's like, well, I think why Shamia's mad is because she's being called a lapdog and she deserves an apology for that. And so Angela, you know, which duh. But Drew's like, what did I do? And Angela's like, yeah, but we do take offense also if we're having an intimate conversation with you that you run in tattletale, which is funny coming from Angela because that's literally what Angela does too.
There was one episode where she went from like 3 different groups and told them like she was the true bone carrier in that episode.
All from her rental, all from her like investment properties. Because she wouldn't let anybody shoot on her regular property.
So then Phaedra goes, let's be very clear. did you really, which is a very Karen Huger thing to say, let me be very clear. She goes, did you really think you were having an intimate conversation with Shamia about her best friend? And Portia's like, and that's what I'm trying to get at, see? And Angela goes, Portia, nobody is prying into your friendship. These are just grievances that she holds towards you that she relayed to us. So Shamia's like, well, then tell me the grievances that I relayed to you.
Yeah, and which we've already done for weeks. You know what I mean? And you said them all. So move on. So Portia's like, well, you know, I just thought we made up already. So I just found it odd that everyone was asking her questions about her friendship and not asking me. But they did. I think they did ask you.
Yeah, Kelly tries to be messy here. She goes like, well, do you feel like you've been a good friend to Shamia? And Portia's like, I'm already had the conversation. It's over. We moved on. She's like, no, we're not going to do this. So Kelly's like, but you said for everyone to ask you, so I'm asking you. It is kind of funny because Portia's like, if you have a question about me and me and Shamia's relationship, ask me. Okay, I've got a question. We already talked
how
about
dare
it.
You
sorry.
Ask me. Well, how dare you?
That is so Portia.
But Shamia loves that Portia has stood up to the ladies and said, no, I will not discuss my relationship with Shamia. That's all Shamia wanted. And, you know, decent under the freeway power outlet. So she didn't have to carry around tiny gas canisters.
And, you know, maybe some fresh clothing. So Kelly's like, she's like, Portia, at the end of the day, that's your friendship and you get nothing for nothing. you said y'all move past it. And since you are the star of the show, I will move past it because I understand. I understand the hierarchy here. We should all be able to move past it too. Now, Drew, if we can move past it, then let's move past it as a group. So, Drew, I feel like you have an issue with everyone at the table except for Cynthia. And Drew's like, what? What? It's like, no, everyone's having an issue with you, Drew.
And she's like, Portia, I don't have an issue with Portia. Portia has an issue with me. And Portia's like, it takes energy to have an issue, and I don't have an issue. And Drew's like, I mean, I'm coming in peace. I just don't want to argue. It's just so taxing on my cords. And she's like, well, okay, I didn't use the best words in the beginning. You want to have this conversation again? Can somebody bring her some black tea? No, ginger and turmeric, please. So they have this conversation a fucking again. I cannot take any more of this. I'm fast forwarding. So then they try to make up. And basically Drew's like, well, thank you for kind of apologizing. I just want to acknowledge because I never heard you take any responsibility. So thank you. Thank you for saying you didn't handle it in the best way.
Yeah, they kind of get to an uneasy truce where they're like, yeah, okay. And, you know, they sort of apologize for... It's like a little tense for a moment, but then it kind of eases up. And Portia's like, yeah, she's like, I just didn't like the way that you move. But you know what? I don't know. I'm literally done with this conversation. And Drew's like, okay, so it was misunderstanding. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for saying that, because I haven't heard you say that yet.
Yeah, and then it gets serious again because Portia's like, well, I mean, I don't have expectations on a friendship with you. And I was telling you that day when you brought up that I'm dating bleep and all these other things. And Drew's like, but you brought up that I was dating black. And she's like, no, but you said I was dating bleep. No, but you said I was dating black. So it becomes that again. And Portia's like, I'm just saying, if you're dating a guy named Black, why did you let it go so far? Just say no. I'm not with Dennis. I'm with Black. It's like, I'm not with Black.
I know. That was such warped logic, too. Like, why didn't you shut down the rumors if you were rumored to be dating another person instead? It's like, but if she's not dating either of them, it doesn't make sense, Portia. So finally, Portia says,
okay, well, he lied. I hear you.
It's like, thank you. Like, Dennis is the one who caused all these issues in the first place. So everyone's like, oh, thank God. So now Britt has decided that she wants to make this her moment. She goes,
can I speak? I would like to pilot a feud with Phaedra Parks, please. Okay.
So she goes,
I have a talking crystal right now.
Okay, could you shove it up your fucking nose and clear some blockages? Maybe the rose quartz will help. You're making me crazy, lady.
So, since we're all here speaking of things that we feel may be inappropriate with ex-husbands or baby daddies, I just want to personally say to you, Phaedra Parks, at my event, Apollo and his wife were invited. Oh my god, my phone is going off. Hold on one second. Excuse me, spam.
Scam. I just want to apologize. So, okay, Scam likely has the talking crystal. All right, give it back.
Okay, I want to apologize to the audience first and foremost, since we're talking about this, that my phone went off. But also, I was a Phaedra. Apollo was at my party. He was not fed, so don't worry. And I did not realize, but if you want to be mad at him and start a fight that we can have through the rest of the season, I'm totally okay with that.
There was no malicious intent, and if it makes you feel better, I gave Shireen an extra large bare naked, because that's what I do to bitches I hate.
And I'm just like, wait a minute.
So Phaedra's like, I just got out of marriage medicine where they tried to pull these shenanigans. I am not going to cater to them again. So she's like, I'm not sure why Britt is bringing up Apollo. I mean, that's not my husband. He's married to someone else. I could care less.
Yeah. And so she's like, I don't care. So then Kelly takes back the talking crystal. And everybody's just like, shut up, Britt. You know, because
so obvious.
Like, Shamia's like, read the room, for Christ's sake. Like, we're, you know, no one's even talking about that anymore. What we are talking about is that we all left your party hungry.
Yeah, precisely. So they all pretty much toast, and she, you know, Kelly does the whole thing of like, I love that we're able to recognize how it makes us feel as women, this conversation. It makes us feel as women, as moms, as wives, as ex-wives, as people who make waffles. And I'm just happy that we could at least set our boundaries, set the tone, and move forward. Because guess what? We leave that shit at this motherfucking table until tomorrow when we all bring it up again for the rest of the season.
Don't we talk about Drew filming with Dennis again tomorrow? Okay. And the next day, and the next day. Yeah. That was a fun one. It was so good to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me back. And thanks to Kempire, who filled in while I was gone. And thanks to everyone who is here listening right now. And thank you to that caller. Thank you to that spam person who called in the middle of that. That was fun. So that's it. So go to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com. Get your tickets to our shows in Seattle and LA. We better see you there, okay? We better see you there. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.